Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Bancolombia's second quarter 2018 earnings conference call. My name is Hilda, and I will be your operator for today's call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the prepared remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. During the question-and-answer session, if you have a question, please press star, then 1 on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Please note that this conference call will include forward-looking statements, including statements related to our future performance, capital position, credit-related expenses, and credit losses. All forward-looking statements, whether made in this conference call, in future filings, in press releases, or verbally, address matters that involve risk and uncertainty. Consequently, there are factors that could cause actual results to differ materially from those indicated in such statements, including changes in general economic and business conditions, changes in currency exchange rates and interest rates, introduction of competing products by other companies, lack of acceptance of new products or services by our targeted clients, changes in business strategy, and various other factors that we describe in our reports filed with the SEC. With us today is Mr. Juan Carlos Mora, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Jaime Velasquez, Chief Strategy and Finance Officer, Jose Humberto Acosta, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Rodrigo Prieto, Chief Risk Officer, Mr. Jorge Humberto Hernandez, Chief Accounting Officer, Mr. Alejandro Mejia, Investor Relations Manager, and Mr. Juan Pablo Espinosa, Chief Economist. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Juan Carlos Mora, Chief Executive Officer of Bancolombia. Mr. Juan Carlos, you may begin.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the conference call for the second quarter 2018. I want to start this call making a reference to the main aspects that are affecting our business. We are going through a challenging credit cycle, and we have experienced an additional deterioration in the loan portfolio. The level of new past due loans is mainly explained by corporate loans, including troubled clients that we have shared with you in previous calls. In the SME front, we perceive an improvement of the situation, even though we still have some way to go, which is in line with the economic recovery that Colombia is going through. These trends, though, confirm our assessment regarding where we are in the credit cycle. We have elements to believe that we are reaching a turning point, and we expect a normalization in the coming quarters. Over the last year, we have accelerated the pace of provisioning, acting early to reach coverage ratios that permit to protect the book. As a matter of fact, some of the loans that are becoming delinquent today have been provisioned already, and that means that we do not expect a significant increase in the cost of risk, in the future cost of risk, despite potential new past due loans. This situation with the credit portfolio contrasts with a good performance on margins. Thanks to the management of the funding cost, also with a solid and improving capital position and with a good performance of cost, thanks to the efforts made to lean the bank in several aspects. Having said this, let me elaborate a little bit more on the macro and some other relevant aspects that are driving our business. After the elections for Congress and President held in the first half of the year, the political landscape seems to be more constructive. The macro conditions in Colombia are stable and favorable for growth over the next 24 months. We want to highlight that inflation has been within the range set by the central bank during several months in a row. The outlook for GDP growth has been positive and this second half of the year, the pace of economic activity should accelerate as both the public and private sectors resume investment programs. Also, the external front and the trade balance seems to be quite benign for the FX and the current account deficits. Because of this favorable macro forecast, we will see more activity across the segments that the bank targets. And we expect an improvement in credit quality, especially in the corporate and SME segments. On the loan volumes and credit demand front, the pace of growth has been slower than our expectations. This is partially explained by the slow first half of the year, when corporates behaved in a cautious way while they had more certainty in the political front. As of June, the loan portfolio grew 3.2% year-on-year, and most of this growth is explained by the consumer book. As you know, our consumer segment has been growing faster and to balance the composition of the book. This is something that we target and we deliberately intended to grow the consumer book on a higher pace. Consequently, we have became the first player in retail banking in Colombia, as we went from 13% to 17% of market share. Let's remember that consumer loan growth in 2017 was 15% and the year-on-year growth as of June was 10%. In the commercial front, our main efforts have been concentrated in the management of large corporate issues and the normalization of troubled clients, especially SMEs. This is the segment where demand has been weaker and where the collection efforts are focused. Given the slow growth of the portfolio, we have concentrated our efforts in the defense of the NIM. Our strategy here has been to reduce the cost of funding as fast as possible, especially time deposits. The level of liquidity in the economy permits us to avoid significant pressure on the funding side. In this sense, margins have evolved better than we had forecasted at the beginning of the year. The 5.9% posted in this quarter reflects better margins in the dollar-denominated portfolio and the reduction of funding costs in Colombia. We forecast stability in the interest rates in Colombia for the rest of the year, and therefore net interest income will grow in line with the loan portfolio expansion. In line with the economic cycle and the situation with certain corporate clients, we continue having a high pace of provision charges. Regarding the quality of the portfolio, we must highlight that in the origination process, new vintages in both commercial and consumer loans are behaving in line with our forecast. The growth in provision charges has been driven by the deterioration of some corporate clients, not necessarily past due, and the runoffs of SMEs clients. We could say that the loan portfolio starts a new cycle with better levels. Nonetheless, there are some corporate cases that will become past due, but will not require additional provisions because we have made some in advance. Regarding the cost of credit for 2018, it will be above our initial forecast. It will be around 2.2%, which is higher than the 2% we forecasted at the beginning of the year. It is important to note here that some of the loans that became past due in the quarter had been partially provisioned with charges in previous periods. That means that we have moved in advance to protect the balance sheet, and to some extent, we have already covered a significant portion of loans that are just appearing as trouble. Efficiency and cost control remains a key topic for 2018. We are keeping our goal of growing expenses below 5%. this year and so far. The results have been quite positive. Operating expenses for the first 6 months of the year have declined 1.4%. The structural gains in efficiency have been a combination of factors, as we shared with you in previous calls. The headcount of the bank has been reduced. Also, we have reduced the number of branches in Colombia and Guatemala to optimize costs. We continue gaining efficiencies and involving technology and automation in several processes across the bank. Today, we have more than 160 processes that involve robotics and artificial intelligence, and the productivity gains have been significant. With these elements in mind, I want to ask Juan Pablo Espinoza, our chief economist, to give you an overview of the main macroeconomic topics to consider. Juan Pablo.
Thank you, Juan Carlos. I will ask you to go to slide number 3 in the presentation. Let me start by saying that during the past few months, global conditions have remained positive for the Colombian economy. The rise in the prices of oil and other commodities have led to a surge in the country's terms of trade, which are now 63% above their lowest reading recorded at the start of 2016. Moreover, at the end of May, the year-on-year growth of this indicator is 14%. This performance of external prices, as well as the solid growth of Colombian main trading partners, has led to a two-digit increase in of exports, which will lead to a further narrowing of the current account deficit to 3% of GDP for the full year. Due to all these factors, year-to-date, the Colombian peso has been one of the best-performing currencies of the region. Our baseline scenario is that this performance of external variables will continue to be positive through the second half of the year. With respect to economic activity, recent indicators have shown a moderate improvement. According to our estimates, during the second quarter, GDP expanded 2.6% year-on-year, which is 0.4% higher than first quarter sprint. Meanwhile, job creation is accelerating, retail sales have recovered, and after a long period of weakness, industrial production is growing again. All this has been complemented by a steady increase of both consumer and business confidence. Based on this evidence, we have revised upwards our full-year growth forecast to 2.6%, slightly above market consensus. This means that during the second half of the year, the economy will expand close to 2.9%, thus confirming the pace of gradual pickup in activity that Juan Carlos mentioned at the start of the call. In terms of prices, after accelerating just 6 basis points in the second quarter to 3.2%, we slightly adjusted our year-end inflation forecast from 3.3% to 3.4%. This will mainly reflect an acceleration in food prices during the fourth quarter of the year. There is also an increasing probability of a moderate El Niño phenomenon by the end of the year, which can affect prices upwards. Regarding monetary policy, we forecast that the central bank's reference rate will remain at 4.25% for the remainder of the year. We believe that rate stability will be the most appropriate response for an economy that will still grow below potential, but it's at the same time exposed to higher interest rates in developed economies. After this overview of the economic environment, let me turn the presentation to Jose Humberto Acosta, who will discuss the bank's results. Jose.
Thank you, Juan Pablo. Before starting with the discussion of the consolidated results, I would like to highlight the main aspects of each geography. Please go to slide number 4. In our operation in Banco Agrícola in El Salvador, this operation presents growth signals and improvement in yields. Growth has come from both commercial and consumer loans, and that has permitted to expand the NIMs from 5.9% to 6.9%. In the fee front, the implementation of new products has permitted to grow these revenues 7.1% on an annual basis. Cost control programs have permitted to improve efficiency levels coming from 56% to 51%. In our operation in Panama, Banismo, the growth of the loan portfolio has been slower than expected, impacted by the deceleration of the Panamanian economy, which we believe will grow 4% this year. Also, the implementation of IFRS 9 has permitted to increase the coverage ratio to 123%. Finally, in our operation in Guatemala, BAM, the coverage ratio has increased also to 160%. In general terms, the main goals for Central America is to grow the loan portfolio and to continue gaining efficiencies. Since Colombia is the main component of our consolidated operations, we want to zoom in that geography. Please go to slide number 5. Note that these metrics are for our standalone operation in Colombia. We must highlight two facts that drove the business over the last year. First, we maintain a very strong competitive position. In commercial, corporate, and SMEs banking, more than a third of the total market share reaffirms the capacity of Bancolombia to serve clients with comprehensive solutions. I want to point your attention to the evolution of market share in consumer loans, which has gone from 13% to almost 17% in 2 years. Most of this growth has been within our own customer base, which we know better since they typically have a relation with us in the deposit side. The use of predictive tools allows us to estimate the payment capacity with higher accuracy and therefore originated loans more efficiently. The evolution of NIM has been quite positive, thanks to our efforts to bring down the cost of funding. Please note that while the reference rate in Colombia came down 325 basis points over the last year, the NIM came down only 120 basis points. Over the last 6 months, it seems to have stabilized around 6.3. This comparison is the outcome of a strong franchise in deposits that Bancolombia has, especially in retail funds, which provide stability and competitive costs. On slide 6, we see the evolution of the loan portfolio. As we shared with you at the beginning, credit demand has been weak during the first half of 2018. The loan portfolio in pesos grew 8.7% year-on-year, and the loans in dollars decreased 2.7% in dollar terms, for a combined effect of 3% year-on-year growth. It is important to highlight that the reduction of the loan portfolio in US dollars took place in the local operation in Colombia. The impact of the appreciation of the peso versus the dollar during that period was at about 1.2%. The most important trend to highlight regarding growth is the relevance that consumer loans have gained in our portfolio. Today, the segment accounts for more than 17%, and that strategy has contributed to improve margins and returns. On the other hand, to share the mortgages, the market share of mortgages has remained stable at around 13% over the last 2 years, and we intend to keep it around that. As Juan Pablo mentioned at the beginning of his presentation, we expect a faster growth of the economic activity during the second half of the year, and this will help the credit demand. Based on this, we have changed the estimated forecast of loan growth for the full year. That will be on the area of 6 to 8% and maybe at a level of 7%. Moving on to slide 7, we present the situation of the credit quality as of June. We continue experiencing the effects of the credit cycle and non-performing loans ratios for 30 and 90 days. This trend is exclusively explained by corporate loans because SME, consumer, and mortgage seems to be reaching the turning point in the quality metrics as Juan mentioned at the beginning of his presentation. Regarding corporates, we need to mention that the increase in the non-performing loans ratios is largely explained by the delinquency of clients that have been in the watch list but were not yet delinquent. To some extent, there were expected cases that had not impacted the delinquency ratios in March, Nevertheless, we have done provisions for them in advance. In consumer and mortgages, we perceive a change in trends in the 90-day non-performing loans ratio, which suggests a change in the cycle, whereas in corporates, we still see a deterioration. A similar effect occurred in the 90-day non-performing loans ratio, which increased in the quarter because some of the loans are running off and reaching that threshold. That's why the 90-day non-performing loans ratio goes up faster than the 30-day ratio. There is a lag effect. We must highlight that we maintain coverage ratio levels enough to operate due to higher provision levels related to corporate clients and implementation of IFRS 9, which increased the allowances by 600 billion Colombian pesos. Slide number 8 helps to understand what's happening with the credit cycle. During the quarter, 1.15 trillion pesos became delinquent 30 or more days. Almost 160 billion of those are corporate loans related to Electricaribe and the mass transportation system that were not delinquent yet. So taking out these large issues, the new past due loan seems to be moderating, especially compared to the first quarter of the year. We continue experiencing deterioration in mid-sized corporations, but on the other hand, the trend in SMEs is reaching a turning point, and after having significant defaults in the last quarter of last year and the first quarter of this year, we are back to the levels that we have last year and the half of 2017. We do not associate any particular sector to these new delinquencies, but certainly the last 12 months of the economy have contributed to this trend. Regarding consumer loans, we are focusing our origination in the best clients from a risk perspective. This is the segment where we don't have any major concern because it has behaved in line with our expectations. We maintain cautious approach to disbursement, but we are positive regarding the general condition of Colombian consumer debt and in particular Bancolombia's clients. Right now, we continue the process of de-risking the loan portfolio, replacing all vintages with the new ones under more stringent standards. The environment is also in our favor. Households are reducing the leverage. This is a trend that began about 18 months ago. And leading indicators like unemployment is moving downward. Now, we can argue that we are back to the same levels of deterioration of mid-2017. And as the second half recovery occurs, we could continue seeing an improving trend. We perceive the current situation of the cycle as a transition period towards a better performance of the loan book. Equally important is to mention that we have accelerated the pace of charge-offs. It has been only possible thanks to the provisions made over the last year. It should continue for the next coming quarters. Finally, I would like to mention some actions that we are continuing to in order to manage the credit cycle. In the early delinquency and collection process, we have enhanced our collection teams in order to concentrate efforts that prevent clients to become delinquent, and in the case they are past due, in a few days to avoid them reaching the 30 days. Also, we are working with troubled clients. Since most of the clients are delinquent due to involuntary circumstances, we have been working with them to restructure some of their obligations, offering solutions that are more convenient. For instance, a client that has an obligation in US dollars is able to change it to pesos, and therefore the cash flow volatility improves. Having said that, we are changing our guidance of cost of risk, as Juan mentioned at the beginning, from 2% to 2.2% at the end of the year. Moving on to slide number 8, we see the evolution of net interest income and the funding cost. The most important fact to highlight regarding NII is the effort have made to bring down the cost of funding. In an environment where credit demand is not strong, defending the NIM takes more relevance. The actions taken to bring down the cost include, we took advantage of the ample global liquidity to take deposits in dollars through our offshore subsidiary in Panama, hedge it and monetize them, and then use the proceeds to originate loans in local currency. During the first half of the year, we monetized $1 billion and the total cost paid for those resorts was 160 basis points lower than the comparable city cost in pesos. Also, we issued 300 billion Colombian pesos in green bonds, which permitted to take mid-term funding at a very competitive cost. We reduced lines of credit from international banks at around $400 million during that period. All included, we could reduce the total funding cost of the bank by 48 basis points in the last year, but most importantly, the cost of deposits in pesos came down 99 basis points in the same period. To reach that reduction, we promoted also savings and checking accounts over CDs, taking advantage of the client base in Colombia. It is also remarkable that despite the Fed interest rate hikes, the cost of dollar-denominated deposits has gone up marginally over the last years. In Banco Agricola and Banismo, we promoted savings and checking accounts as well. As a result of this effort, the margins remain stable. In the following slide, we can appreciate the trend in the net interest income. NIM of the loan portfolio was stable during the quarter as a result of the parity between reduction of the average yield on the loan portfolio and the funding cost. Two actions helped the stability in the lending NIM. First, we have grown in consumer loans at around 17% in Colombia, and these assets have a higher margin. And second, in the funding side, as we just mentioned, we have to optimize the funding cost. On the other hand, there was an improvement in the NIM of securities as volatility was reduced after the Congress election in March and government securities have appreciated. The combined effect was a slight improvement in the overall NIM, which was 5.9 during the quarter. In line with our expectations, we are getting closer to lending NIM up at around 6% and total NIM at around 5.8% by year end. On slide 11, we can see the evolution of fees. Fees presented a mixed trend in the second quarter. Revenues evolved very well, mainly impacted by the promotional programs of credit cards related to the World Cup. But at the same time, we had higher expenses related to distribution channels, such as banking agents and call centers. Asset management and bank insurance behaved in line with the trend seen in the first months of the year. In order to isolate seasonal effects, it is useful to see the cumulative performance of fees. They have grown 6.8% in 2018. This pace of growth is in line with the slow economic activity observed in the first half of the year, and we expect to accelerate the third quarter as the economy gets traction. Our forecast for fee growth for 2018 will be on the range to 8 to 10%. Now, moving to slide 12, we present the evolution of expenses. The results in efficiency have to rationalize. From the revenue side, net interest income is not growing as expected, basically due to the low growth in volumes and the not accrual of around 106 billion Colombian pesos quarter of interest of clients classified as a bucket 3. On the OPEX side, we have declined 1.4% due to the programs that we put in place during the year. As Juan mentioned, we put special programs for managing the headcount to maintain an optimal level of branches and to maintain a strict cost control. Based on the evolution, we forecast an OPEX growth at the end of the year at around 4.5%. In the tax front, the reduction on effective tax rate is explained by two reasons. In the second quarter, we recalculate the deferred taxes using the forecasted statutory rate of 33% for 2019, based on the last tax reform. In the second Q also, the earnings of the subsidiaries in Central America are bigger, and since the tax rate is lower, this effect reduces the overall consolidated tax rate. Just to give you an idea, the statutory tax in our operations in El Salvador, Guatemala, and Panama is 25%, and the statutory tax for our offshore operation is 0%. So if you combine that, the number will be, at the end of the year, the tax rate will be at around 30 to 32%. Now let's move to slide 13, where we present the evolution of the capital position of the bank and the Tier 1, which ended at a level of 10%. We have not seen a significant change in the capital ratios over the last year due to the stable size of the balance sheet and despite the adoption of IFRS 9, which reduced shareholders' equity. For the rest of the year, we should operate with total capital ratio of 13 to 14%. Finally, on slide 14, we present the return on equity for the period, which was 10.6%, and for the last 12 months, it was 11%. In summary, the economic cycle indicates us that the level of provision charges is currently reaching the peak. For the second half of the year, we have a potential faster growth of the loan book, a funding structure that could maintain the lending margin at around 6%. The growth in expenses under control, and we are expecting to close the year at around 4.5%. As we mentioned at the beginning, the international operations will help us to gain efficiencies and loan growth. And finally, the capital structure is optimal to face the new economic cycle. After presenting these slides and discussing our second quarter results, I would like to invite our audience to ask any questions you might have. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and then one on your touchtone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the pound sign or the hash key. If you are using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star and then one. We have a question from Mr. Ernesto Gabilondo from Bank of America.
Hi, good morning, Juan Carlos, José Humberto, and good morning, everyone. Three questions from my side. In the first one, we saw modest economic recovery, and that explains the limited loan growth. However, can you share with us which are the tangible programs or projects of the new administration that are making you to become more optimistic in terms of loan growth in the second half? We saw that almost all of the segments of the portfolio experience a slower pace of growth on a yearly basis. So you just want to know, again, which is making you to be more comfortable, not only related to the economic activity, but projects or any other indicator that could help us to be expecting faster growth should be very helpful. Then my second question is in terms of asset quality. We continue to see that the large troubled corporates are the ones affecting the provision charges, and I think that's the reason why you increase the cost of risk guidance to 2.1%. But can you share with us how much provisions have you already created on these large corporate loans? Are they already provisioned at 100%? Or how much is still pending? And finally, can you repeat how do you see the ROE for the year? Thank you.
Ernesto, thank you for your questions. Let me start with the recovery aspect. We have seen that the economy in Colombia is picking up already. You mentioned that the growth of our portfolio has been slow, and that's true, but I would like to highlight that we have been gaining market share. Looking forward, we see that the consumer confidence is increasing, economic activity is improving, so we will see more economic activity, and on that front, we will forecast a bigger demand. On the government side, the new government will be taking office next week, but still the infrastructure program is in place and will demand additional finance. And also, we see an increase activity from the enterprises evaluating new projects, and we will see additional demand coming to finance these new projects that are going to create additional capacity for the economy. Also, I would like to highlight that we keep moving on the direction of pre-approving line of credits for our customer, for our retail business, and this is a big improvement. So we are not reacting to the demand. We are moving ahead and evaluating the customers, defining a line of credit, and that is creating an additional demand for us with a very good credit quality. So we were optimistic that the recovery is coming and the demand will improve moving forward. In terms of asset quality, we have mentioned that we have been moving on provisioning the big customers, the big clients, corporate clients. Already we have provisioned the Electric Caribe loans at around 65%, which is sufficient due to the current situation of that customer. And on the SATP front, which is the Massive Transportation Systems, we are around 46%, which we also consider sufficient coverage. So we keep moving and analyzing the development of these customers, but as of today, we think that the level of provisions that we have with those customers is enough. Regarding your third question about ROE forecast, we forecast that our ROE will be at around 12% for this year, and we are confident that that ROE will improve significantly for next year.
The next question comes from Jason Mullin from Scotiabank.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity to ask questions. My first question is a follow-up on the outlook for profitability. I think with the higher provisions, it seems like it might be hard even to reach the 12%, which I believe is down from the 13% that you were talking about after the last quarter at the beginning of the year. What do you think the upside or downside risk is for 2018, for the second half? Is this 12 on the upside as the economy recovers as you expect? Is there no more? What kind of volatility are you expecting for the FX, et cetera? And the second question is more of a detailed question on the cost of funding. That's been really an impressive trend, bringing that down. What are you seeing there in terms of competition, and can that downward trend continue, or do you think as the economy grows there'll be more competition for funding and low-cost deposits, and actually that trend could reverse? Thank you.
Thank you, Jason. Let me elaborate a little bit on the ROE forecast. We believe that 12% ROE for this year is something reachable. I mean, it's not on the optimistic side. What are the factors that could affect negative or positive that 12%? Obviously, cost of credit. How the provisions behave, it's key. And as we mentioned, we think that we are reaching the peak of the credit cycle, and the customer clients that we mentioned before, we are managing those customers. So we believe that the next semester, the second half of the year, is going to be a better performance, and will allow us to grow a little bit faster our portfolios. Consumer credits are going to grow and are going to give us an additional income, and the pace of deterioration is going to be slower. So we think that forecast of 12% ROE is reachable and is reasonable due to the current situation of the economy and the bank. The other fronts, the efficiency fronts, the fees, all of them we will keep working, and there will be, we think, in line of our expectations. Regarding the cost of funding, let me pass that question to Jose Humberto.
Thank you, Juan. I want to complement just one additional point of the answer of Juan regarding the NII and how we will reach the return on equity. Just a number. We are expecting to close in terms of provisions the year at a level of 3.5 billion Colombian pesos. That will help you to calculate how we are going to reach that return on equity and that increase of NII. Regarding cost of funding, yes, we made extra efforts. Not only this semester, we began that process a year ago, trying to move into funding shipping cost of funding. Today, we are expecting almost a flat cost during the second half of the year. We are not expecting a reduction on the cost of funding because interest rates right now is a kind of plateau, maintaining the same level. As you heard, Juan Pablo, we don't expect a change in the central bank interest rates. So that's the reason why we expect that the NIM will compress at the end of the year 20 basis points, and that is because the repricing of the assets, but we will maintain the cost of funding at the same level. With the same composition, 75% from retail and 25% for other sources of funding.
Thank you. The next question comes from Thiago Batista from Itaú.
Hi, guys. Good morning, and thanks for the opportunity. I have basically two questions. The first one is a follow-up on the cost of risk. Can you indicate to us how much we are expecting for next year? With this big jump in the cost of risk for this year, probably we'll see a material decline next year, but what is the level that you believe is feasible for the cost of risk for next year? And the second question is about the banking fees. Looking to the numbers in the press release, seems that the banking fee declined a lot this quarter, about 20% year over year, and also 20% year over year. What exactly caused this drop? There is any accounting change in this line to explain this big drop in banking fees?
Thank you, Thiago. Regarding your first question, we are foreseeing a cost of risk next year in between 1.9 to 2.0. We have to highlight that 5 or 7 years ago, our cost of risk were at around 1.5. But now, when we are moving more towards to have more consumer loans, the new standard for the bank of cost of risk for the medium term will be to be in the range of 1.7 to 1.8. That means that next year will be dropping, but not at the level that we're supposed to have as a standard, then maybe we will reach that level in 2020. Regarding bank fees, we have basically a huge level of transactions in our call centers, and also we increase the level of corresponding agents. That explains that we increase almost 17% our cost of maintaining those channels, but we don't see immediately of the income side. That explains, but as we mentioned on the speech, you have to take in consideration that the number right now is 7% annual basis, and we expect to close 7 to 8% or 8 to 10% at the end of the year. But the explanation is basically because we had two items in which increase. Again, call centers and the bank agents.
Thank you. The next question comes from Andres Soto from Santander.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your presentation and the opportunity to ask questions. My question is related, again, with cost of risk and your guidance for 2018. This, in my view, is the main difference between the guidance that you provided in the first quarter results with the one that you are giving now. And what I would like to understand is what changed over the past 3 months that make you so much more conservative in terms of the provisioning expenses that you will need to make in 2018? Is it related to the large corporate cases? Is it something else in your structural portfolio? What are the downside risks to this number to achieve even a higher level in 2018? Thank you.
Thank you, Andres. What happened is, and let me explain in four different buckets. In consumer, you see an improvement, so we don't expect an increase. In SMEs, you see that the numbers we thought that were below the level that we are having today, so that's the first deviation that we see in terms of provision, but we are not foreseeing in terms of quality of the loan portfolio. So we foresee a better vintages, behavior of vintages, but we see a bunch or the level of provisioning will maintain on SMEs. In terms of large corporates, as Juan mentioned, we expect a slight increase of provisions. What happened is with the rest of corporates in which we saw a slight deterioration that impacted in our terms of provisions. So short is basically on the corporate side, we saw a deviation in terms of the corporate of loans. And SMEs, we thought that it will improve, but nothing of that happened. So the process of recovering on SMEs will take more than the expected time at the beginning.
Andres, and let me complement José Humberto's answer with something. The loan growth has been slower than we expected. So the cost of credit, the relative cost of credit, increases because of that. And since we expect a better pace during the second half of the year, that will probably or improve the cost of credit because of volume is going to have a better performance during the second half.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Alonso Garcia from Credit Suisse.
Hello, good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking my question. And my question is regarding loan growth. As you mentioned, you have been gaining significant market share over the past couple of years. My question is, how sustainable is this loan growth outperforming the system in the coming years? And for how long do you think you can continue growing strongly within your existing client base? And my second question is regarding OPEX. How sustainable do you see the OPEX growing in the low single digits? And what is your target for the next 2-3 years in terms of efficiency ratio? Thank you.
Thank you, Alonso. We think that the loan growth it's sustainable in the future. As we mentioned already several times, the economic activity is going to be favorable, and that helps a lot. But also, we believe that we are in the condition of taking advantage of that economic activity. On the commercial side, we have improved our origination process. Growing on our customers, as you mentioned, has been a strategy, a very successful strategy, and we will keep moving in that direction since we have the largest customer base in Colombia, which is around close to 9 million customers, and in the other countries, over 2 million. So we believe that we have target a small amount of those customer base, and we are improving the products. We are understanding better the behavior of our customers. So On the retail side, we think it's achievable, and we'll keep moving on that direction. On the commercial side, even though this could seem counterintuitive, SMEs for us is going to be a very good source of future growth. Our customer base on SMEs is big. Having reached the peak and taking into account that the cycle is going to be better, SMEs again will be a source of growth for us. In terms of OPEX, your second question, we believe that we are able to grow expenses around inflation in the coming years. So we believe that we will be able to improve our efficiency ratios to reach our target of 46% in around 2020 to 2021. And we believe that the programs and the structural gains that we are having on costs will allow us to reach that level.
Complementing the answer of Juan, the rationale for reducing the efficiency ratio in the last 5 years were reducing costs. Today we feel comfortable with that achievement, and the rationale for the next 3 years to increase the efficiency or to have a better efficiency, that would be on the income side, with a combination of better margins, very low growth portfolio, that will be achievable, and that's the reason why we believe that we will get the level of 47 as or 46 as Juan mentioned. Hello.
Hello?
Adelante, por favor.
No, we finished with our answer. We can move to the next question. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Sebastian Gallego from Credicorp Capital.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thanks for the presentation. I have actually three questions. The first one is just a follow-up on OPEX. I know you talk about your targets, but can you provide a bit more color on any targets regarding optimizing branches, headcount, what's your expectation on that front? The second question is regarding Panama. Can you provide a bit more color on the outlook on the operation of Panama? How are you dealing with the slower pace of growth, and how do you expect to achieve better figures going forward? And my final question is just a follow-up also on asset quality. You mentioned in the previous call that the effect on NII coming from the adoption of IFRS 9 was somewhat mitigated with lower provisions, and also IFRS with the provision expected model is supposed to take into account a better macro outlook. Why is the provision expenses continue to go up? Thank you.
Sebastian, regarding OPEX, we expect to, again, as we answered in the last question, the efficiency, that will be a function of much better performance of the income. We are expecting to maintain, again, under inflation, the OPEX increase for the next coming years with a combination of different factors, not only labor costs, also operating expenses. So we don't have any specific view about that, only the expenses growth. Regarding your second question, in Panama, yes, we see right now a lower loan growth in Panama, but the positive news there is there doing a big efforts to achieve better efficiency levels that actually they are getting with the cost controls that helps. And the second front that Banismo is helping us is with the fee income ratio. It is a very good performance that they are reflecting. And obviously we are replicating the same experience in Colombia with retail in Panama. So that will be a matter of time. We expect that 2019 we will be able to reach that long road. Regarding your third question, yes, IFRS 9, you saw impact to all the banks in Colombia was one-time impact on the balance sheet, so we don't foresee any particular deterioration because of IFRS 9. Right now it's comparable, and we, again, the 2.2% is based on the assumption that IFRS 9 is contemplated that expected losses.
Thank you. The next question comes from Carlos Gomez from HSBC. As a reminder, so that we may take as many questions as possible, we ask that you limit yourself to one question.
Hello, good morning. One question is about really what a good cycle looks like. So you are entering a period in which you think that things are going to improve, we're going to see more loan growth. Well, how much is that? How much do you expect to grow over the next, let's say, 3 to 5 years? How good can this cycle be? And I ask because when one looks at asset quality, one gets the perception that perhaps there was more leverage in the previous cycle than we anticipated, and therefore perhaps the prospect for growth is now lower than it was in the past. What do you expect for the next 3 to 5 years? Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos. Regarding your first question, we believe on CAGR the next 3-4 years that the loan growth will be double digit in the low 10. We are maybe thinking about the 10 to 13% in the next coming years. Obviously, the base of this year is low, so you'll see a very good performance on 2019, and you'll be a more normalized performance on loan growth for 2020. But again, that would be double-digit loan growth, and you know that we have capital and we have the source of funding to maintain that loan growth. And as Juan mentioned, that will dilute the cost of risk because the level of provisioning will be different. Regarding the second question, Carlos, can you repeat, please, your second question?
I did myself to one, but actually, since you offered me one, what's the impact of Basel III?
Okay, regarding Basel III, the government is not releasing the final decree. We are just assuming that that will put in place the new two buffers, and they will put in place again a different calculation of the risk-weighted assets. So at the end of the day, when we have the decree with the exact information, maybe we will go back with you. But our perception is non-material, the change in terms of the solvency ratio for Bancolombia, assuming part of the things that the regulators said regarding Basel III.
Carlos, with the drafts that we have been discussing with the regulators, we don't see any material impact on Bancolombia. We will need to wait for the final regulation to come out, but with the drafts that we have been discussing, no material effect.
Thank you. The next question comes from Judy Fernandez from JP Morgan. As a reminder, please limit yourself to one question.
Thank you, gentlemen, for the opportunity to ask questions. I have a question on the effective tax rate for the quarter. It was very below like previous quarters, and you mentioned a big proportion of Central America operations. But still, when we look to Colombia standalone, we see like the effective tax rate in Colombia at 17%. Can you provide more details on what has happened here, if it was any kind of tax credit, and what should be the tax rate for the rest of the year for you? Thank you.
Thank you for Yuri. What happened is, remember that we have a deferred taxes, and at the beginning of the year, we made all the calculations for 2019 of deferred taxes based on the assumption that the 37% statutory taxes, which is the current statutory taxes in Colombia. But remember that a year ago was released a tax reform in which the statutory tax for 2019 will be 33%. What we did in the second quarter was the recalculation and adjustment of all the deferred taxes with the new tax base, which is 33. That was, you see, a big impact of 17%. But the statutory tax or the tax for the 2018 as a whole will be at around 30 to 32%. It is just an adjustment, and we're basically because of the provisioning that we had on the first quarter.
Thank you. The next question comes from Natalia Corfield from JP Morgan.
Good morning, all. So my question is with regards to your capitalization. We saw that there was a decline this quarter, and was mostly explained by higher risk-weighted assets. And your risk-weighted assets actually increased much more than the growth of your loan portfolio. So I'm wondering what's behind the growth of risk-weighted assets. That's one. And within the same topic, there was also an increase in your regulatory capital, and you did not capitalize earnings in this quarter. So I'm wondering what drove the growth in the regulatory capital, which was offset by the higher RWAs. Thank you.
Regarding, Natalia, your first question, what happened with the risk-weighted assets is a combination of two factors. First, the loan growth in consumer, which is higher. You saw the numbers that was 17%. And the second, regarding our securities portfolio, the volatility increased. So the DVO1 increased, and that was the reason the risk-weighted increased. The VIR increased because of the volatility, so that consumes more capital. That is the explanation. Regarding the return on your second question was focused on?
Retained earnings.
As you mentioned, the peak impact was in the first quarter, basically because of IFRS 9. Our expectation is to maintain the same capital level based on the assumption that one-third of our net income annual basis, that will be a dividend, and we will retain two-thirds. That's the reason why our guidance is to maintain that Tier 1 10 to 11% for the whole year.
The next question comes from Herman Cristancho from Davivienda Corredores.
Good morning. Thank you. My question was related to OPEX, so it has been answered. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Jorge Omaña from BNP Paribas.
It was already answered. Thank you.
Okay. We would like to thank you for your participation on this conference call. We are confident that the economic improvement in Colombia and the developments that are happening in Central America will improve the results of the bank during the second half of the year. We expect that on average creates results in line with we just explained to you today. So we will hope to see you on our conference call for the third quarter of 2018. Thank you and have a good day.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference. We thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.